is patient.
Like not honking the horn when you're already 11 minutes late.
Love is kind.
It's doing all the chores so she can wake up to a clean house.
It does not envy.
Being truly joyful when your friend gets the promotion, even if you didn't.
It does not boast.
Love does not remind your kid of his 20-game losing streak.
It is not proud.
How about we apologize more often?
It is not rude.
And let's not value a like over someone's feelings.
It is not selfish.
Love shares that last cookie.
It is not easily angered.
It breathes when it wants to scream.
It keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not bring up the past, even though right now it'll be really convenient and totally win me this argument.
Good night.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth.
Love doesn't get excited when people get destroyed online.
It always protects.
Love always stands guard.
Always trusts.
Always leans into the promises.
Always hopes.
Always sees what's possible.
Always perseveres.
Always gets up one more time.
Love never fails.
And it's always worth it.
I love that video. It's a great reminder. I think we've been talking about unity the last few weeks, and it's important to remember what love is and how we express it. And there's so many little things in that video. I think next time, though, I preach on anger, we're going to hand out bags so that people can have those for so you can take some deep breaths whenever you're upset with something. But, you know, we have been talking about this idea of being woven, that we're all different, but God takes us and our differences, and he weaves us together into a single fabric. And although we come from different backgrounds and we come from different experiences, we may be different genders, different ages, different skin color, even different cultures. God's greatest desire is that we be one and that we be unified. Jesus prayed this, and we've read this every week. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. I mean, the very heart of Jesus, we don't have very many of his prayers recorded. But to think that in this prayer being recorded and in the Bible, that it is really important to him that we be united, that we be unified, that we be bonded together. Why? Because when a non-believing world looks at us, when they look at the church, they will see love. They will know they are loved by God by how they see us love one another, by how they see us united together, and it will cause them to recognize God. One of the few recorded prayers of Jesus is just him crying out for the unity of his family. And you'll see, we've talked a little bit about this, is that there's all kinds of things, right, that you see at different times that divide our churches. We'll fight about once saved, always saved amongst the denominations. How do you baptize? How do you do communion? You know, can you wear a hat in church? Can a pastor have a tattoo? Traditional worship or contemporary worship? Because we all know that for years and years, God preferred organs and hymns, and then his taste changed. God likes drums. But anyway, oh, some of you didn't laugh at that. Wow, okay. But we do. We argue about all this stuff. We bought a piano once at one of my churches. Can't tell you how long it took us to decide what model, what color, on the floor, on the platform. It was just like this terrible, horrible thing we went through, and I was so glad the day we got it on and we just could move on. But we do that. We have preferences, right? Now, we need to recognize that even amongst denominations, the church down the street is not our enemy. The different denomination is not our enemy. Those who worship different than we do are not our enemy. Those Christians who vote differently than you do are not your enemy. Those who are in the culture who vote differently than you are not your enemy. I heard the president say this the other day, and I do disagree with this a great deal. He was in front of a Christian group, and he said, God is on our side. Listen, God is on everybody's side. God is on everybody's side. God loves all of us, and God is not against one party or the other. I'll even go beyond that. This will have some of you meet me at the door. I believe not only that people who worship differently than we do are not the enemy, I believe people who worship a different God than you do are not your enemy. Because when I read my Bible, do you know who the Bible says is our enemy? Satan. Church, we have one enemy, and he is not flesh and blood. Matter of fact, Paul said this: we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of this dark world. He doesn't say we battle not against flesh and blood, but against Democrats or against Republicans or against Mexicans or against the Chinese. We battle against one enemy, and he is Satan. And the Bible says that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you think you need another enemy beside that, you can't even handle that one. Amen? So that when Jesus prayed, I mean, you know, and this enemy, you know what he wants to do? He wants to divide us. He wants you to think that your neighbor of a different culture, a different color down the street is your enemy. He wants you to think it's those liberals. He wants you to think it's those ultra-conservatives. He wants you to think that it's somebody of a different nationality or a different color. He wants you to think that, because then you're not fighting the real enemy. You're fighting other things. And let me tell you what, he's enough to fight in our culture today. Jesus prayed, I want to bring my family together so the world will know your love. We've got to be united in this incredibly broken and divided world. We all need to be clear about who our enemy is. The church, followers of Jesus, the Bible says we have one enemy, and he is Satan. And we need to be sure that we're focused on that. And we've got to unite. Jesus prayed that we'd get our act together, that we quit fighting amongst each other. We talked about this the last few weeks about how do we do this? How do we have this unity? Our unity is made strong because we're citizens of the kingdom first. We may be Americans, but we are Christians first. Being a follower of Christ comes before nationality. It comes before even being a Texan. It's a lot for me to say there. But it comes first. Being a follower of Jesus, being a citizen of that kingdom comes first. We are ambassadors. God didn't choose. You may not have chose the person sitting next to you today to be on the team, but he did. He's the general manager. And he chose all the folks that are sitting around you today to be ambassadors and be on his team. And so rather than pick on one another, he wants us to go be ambassadors for the kingdom. And then last week we talked about influence, that the more we live our lives under the influence of culture, the more divided we're going to be. And the more we live our lives under God's influence, the more unified we'll be, because we all become more like Jesus. And you can go online and see those. Today I want to talk to you about a common mission. Now, back last summer, when training camp opened, there were 32 teams who had a common mission, and that was win the Super Bowl. I know the Dallas Cowboys didn't act like it, but back last summer, they were talking about it. It's not easy to win a Super Bowl, right? Chiefs, it's been 50 years, right? But here we are. Every player has this common mission: go win the Super Bowl. And every player on the Chiefs has had this common mission, working together in order to accomplish a mission. And that is hopefully what's going to happen tonight when they win the Super Bowl. A common mission helps unite us, to weave us together in unity. Our mission is to go into all the world and share the love of Jesus Christ as followers of Jesus, to share the gospel that God loves us and he is for us and not against us. Our mission is to make disciples, to share Christ's love, and to bring on many people as we can to join our team in order to one day stand before the Father and hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Our mission is to glorify God, lift up Jesus, and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means for us to win as followers of Jesus. That's what it means to be on a common mission. How do we accomplish that mission? How do we, in the words of Paul, win the prize in Christ Jesus? Well, a couple of things we need to understand. One of those is this, is that we desperately need each other. We cannot significantly impact the world alone. It's hard enough sometimes to impact our own family. It's hard enough sometimes to let the gospel impact our marriage. much less our neighbors, much less our neighborhood, our school, the place that we work. It's difficult to do, but we all have a role in that. I love the way Paul put it in Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. He says, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function. Look at the person beside you and say, you're special. Yeah, that's good. Okay, that's be careful. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. We are the body of Christ. We don't go to church. We are the church. We don't go to church. We are the church. Sometimes you'll see me talk about in some of my emails and stuff like that. On Friday email, we talk about gathering for worship. I don't like to say come to church because you're the church. I've been a church planter who didn't have a building. We understood we were the church, and sometimes we just identified, no, you're the church. You're the kingdom, and you're a part of the body of Christ. Every one of you is an important part of that body, from toenails to belly buttons. Everything's got to work together. For instance, like for my body today to be able to share the message, my mouth obviously has to work because I have to talk. But if my feet didn't work to bring me into the sanctuary this morning, I'd be sitting in my office probably all by myself, preaching and talking. When my mouth is going, my brain has to be working. And the times when my brain's not working and my mouth is going, I get in big trouble that way. But in order for my mouth, my brain has to work. And in order for me, look at me, I have to talk with my hands. You know, it's part of it. My hands participate with my mouth and my brain and my feet. And it'd just be real boring if I just stood here and preach just like this. You know, it'd be very good. Some of you were already asleep. You're really going to be asleep in a minute. Anyway, right? It's all got to work together. And as the body of Jesus Christ, you're part of a larger body. You don't just go to church. You are the church. And because you're part of the body, listen to me, you have something to contribute. You have something to contribute. Either you're going to have something to contribute, or at worst, you're going to try to take something away. Steal something from it. Take something from it. Church is not a place to come be serviced. Church is a place to come give service to one another, to share with one another. The good news is we don't all have the same function. We don't all look alike. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad you don't look like me? Say amen. There were going to be a smart aleck or two, so I just covered them up a little there. There's strength in our diversity. And it's good that we have different parts. We talked a little about this, that even in terms of churches, every church has people that it can reach. Every church does things differently that reaches different people. Uniformity is not the same. Unity is not the same as uniformity. We don't all look alike. So we have different roles we play. It's like a football team. It's like Tyreek Hill, right? He weighs 185 pounds soaking wet. Little guy, but fast as lightning. You would not want him playing guard. You want Andrew Wiley playing guard. He weighs 311 pounds. And I watched him. He's slow as snot, okay? So you want him playing guard, and you want Tyreek out there, you know, doing it. But if Andrew doesn't block, then Tyree's not going to be able to get the ball, right? And when Andrew blocks, Tyree better catch it. You know what I mean? We've all got our roles, and we've all got different things that we do and different ways that we participate. We got a letter and some IRS stuff we have to fill out about the tower they're getting ready to build. And I'm looking at it. It's giving me a headache, and I thought, what is the matter with me? I know a tax agent. Ross Hurst, where are you? You know? And it's like, Ross, read this. He knew exactly what all that mumbo jumbo meant and all. So I'm like, why should I struggle through when I got a tax man? I got Matthew right there. Anyway, but the reality is, see, we all have our role to play. Unity is not the same as uniformity. It's okay that there's different denominations and different things that people believe. We can't, but here's the thing. We're not all Baptists first. We're not all Methodists first. We're not all Charismatic first. We're not all Catholics first. We're not all Nazarenes first. We're not Republican and we're not Democrat. We're not man or we're not woman. First and foremost, we are followers of Jesus. And no, we're not FBC or TBC or TCBY or TGNY. We're not any of those. We're Fair Lawn Nazarene. And we're family. And there are folks that if we closed the doors tomorrow and went away, there'd be places in our community that would suffer because we weren't there. Because there's places only we can minister to. There's unity's not the same. No matter who's in office, our mission doesn't change. No matter what the culture's doing, the mission doesn't change. The message never changes. The methods have to change at times, but there's strength in our diversity. And God is so big, and he's got a big family. He's got different expressions of all kinds. There are many parts to the body. So we just need to lean into that and know that, you know what? I need you. I need you. I can't fulfill the Great Commission all by myself. I need others in my life. Here's the second thing, another very important element in our mission. We're going to err on the side of being for and not against. Here's the bottom line for me. If I'm going to make a mistake about other people, then I need to make a mistake believing the best instead of assuming the worst. How can we as holiness people believe that holiness is all about what we can live into, that it's all this positiveness of who we can become in Christ, and yet sometimes we assume the worst of everybody? And that's just not biblical. Because you know what? When I assume the worst in you, I'm putting up a barrier between you and me that I'm going to have to tear down eventually. I'm just wasting time. When I assume the worst, I'm taking a position of judgment towards my neighbor rather than a position of reconciliation. Hey, Lou, come here for a second. Come here. Hurry. Super Bowl's on, 5:30, kickoff. So, gotta go. So, this is my wife, Luann, and better part of me. So, here's the deal with Luann. I have position, right? I can take a position of judgment. I can take a position of not trusting, of assuming the worst. That's the assumption. That's judgment. Stop. I'm doing this, not you. Or I can assume a position of believing the best and trusting the best, a position of grace. Oh, there we go. Oh, there we go. Oh. Thank you. When people come to church, they don't come to church. They don't come around you as a Christ follower to get this. They come to you wanting to be loved. I had somebody tell me recently, we were talking about their experience of becoming a Christian, and they were telling me that so many times they'd been in church and it had been like this. They had tattoos. He had an earring. He had funky hair. He always was changing the color of it. But he said he walked into a church one day, and the people did this instead. And it made all the difference in his life. Did you know Jesus said that he came not to condemn? He didn't come to judge. He came to love us and teach us how to love. So the position, you remember the woman who they caught in sin, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers, they grabbed her up, and she was probably naked, threw her down in the courtyard in front of Jesus where he was teaching, and they all got rocks in their hands, and according to the law, she was supposed to be stoned. According to what was right and what was wrong, she was supposed to be stoned. They had already picked up their rocks. That's the position of judgment they had taken. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, yeah, go ahead. You who are without sin, throw the first stone. Everybody dropped their rocks and walked away because they'd all been there. They knew. And Jesus looked up at her and says, does anyone condemn you? She's going, no, they're all gone. Then go and sin no more. What position, see the position we take towards people? We ought to focus on what we're for. There are so many wonderful things that we're for. There are so many wonderful things about Jesus, God, and his love. I tell church planters all the time, I was with some of them this week, and I tell them all the time, don't build your church on what you're against. Build your church on what you're for. What you believe God can do. It's so easy to get that wrong because in the culture, right? What do you see in all the political ads? I'll tell you what you see. You see somebody tearing down somebody else. I get so tired of not hearing what they're for. They just tell me why they're against the other person. And sometimes we get that way in our relationships with others. Well, I can't tell you anything except I'd tell you why I don't like her. I can tell you like why I don't like him. And we begin to tear one another down as followers of Jesus, even as Nazarene growing up, right? Right? Because I learned that phrase early on. We don't, you know, we don't smoke or chew or run with women that do. And I remember growing up as a kid, I learned about how we're against movies. We're against dominoes. Can you believe it? Dominoes. Dominoes. You can just rattle off all the things that we were against. There is so much that we're for. And rather than tear someone else down to build ourselves up, we need to begin to focus in on what we're for. Rather than focus on labels that diminish, labels that divide us, we need to focus in on what we're for. We need to be passionate about that. I mean, we're for the love of Jesus Christ. We're for healing. We're for reconciling with one another. We're for peace and we're for grace. When there's an argument online, you don't have to get in there and contribute to the hate. We don't have to have a negative voice. You don't have to, you know, continue to spout, you know, hateful opinions that divide. You don't have to throw a punch. I mean, whatever happened to us being respectful to one another, even disagreeing with respect? We're followers of Jesus. We need to be known for what we're for repentance and healing and reconciliation. Yeah, there are things we take a stand against. Certainly there are. But I don't want to be known for what we're against. I want to be known for what we're for. Because what we're for is going to be unifying and never, ever dividing. D.L. Moody, who was not a Nazarene evangelist, but he was an evangelist, said, "You may find hundreds of fault finders among professed Christians, but all of their criticism will never lead one solitary soul to Christ." To fulfill our common mission, we desperately need each other, and we need to err on the side of being for, not against. And then this last thing, we're going to love like Jesus loved. John chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It would be great if you could put on a Jesus Loves t-shirt and everybody knows that you love. You know, you can put on a Chiefs thing, you know, t-shirt, and everybody, you know, Chiefs fan, and they know certain things about you, like we're going to win the Super Bowl today. But the reality is that people have to see that we love in order to know it. But it's not by your political post on Facebook. That's not how they know you're a follower. It's not by your political stances you take. It's not by the opinions we take of things going on in the culture. It's not even by, you know, like I said, by the things that we're against, but it's by the way you love one another. You'll notice something that he didn't say. He didn't say, "They'll know you're my followers because you're right." Nope. He didn't say be right. He said be loving. We can't all be right. You're not always right. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're not always right." That was a little more painful, wasn't it? I thought about having you confess, you know, "I'm not always right." And I thought some of you'd have a hard time with that. But anyway, but we can't all be right. You know what? I'm not always right. I'm not always right. But even though I'm not always right, I can always be loving. I tell Miss Davis, who was just up here a moment parading around, "It's okay that you're right all the time. Just be loving about it to me, will you?" You know, listen, you don't always have to be right, but we always have to be loving. We always have to be loving. Do you have strong opinions? Absolutely. Some of you do. Do I have strong opinions? Absolutely. Do we have preferences? Yep, we got preferences. How do we express them? Well, you know what? Maybe I don't express my preferences because loving somebody and letting them feel loved is more important than me expressing my preference and them not feeling loved. I'm a parent of grown children. Those of you that are, you should understand this better than anyone. There's times you just have to stand back and encourage your kids. And you really get in trouble if every time something happens, you express your opinion. Because they don't feel very loved. And those of you who haven't learned that should write that down in your notes this morning. I wonder amongst one another, do we always have to be right? And do we always have to express our preference? You know, love covers over a multitude of sins. Maybe I just love because that's what maintains the unity. How do you love like Jesus in a way that builds unity in us? Well, you can comfort those that are sad. You can reach out to those who are broken. You can go to dinner with somebody who really is different than you. You can love those who feel marginalized. I'd argue all day long that the world's getting tired of hearing about the love of Jesus. They want to see the love of Jesus. Do you hear that? They're getting tired of hearing about the love of Jesus. They want to see the love of Jesus. And when they see it lived out, Jesus said, they'll know. You'll glorify and honor God by doing that. Because Jesus is incredible. He's the Son of the living God. He is the one who was born without sin, who came to earth full of grace and truth and love and mercy to save sinners. He's Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Lord himself, the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His word, he was the Word made flesh, anointed, chosen, Son of the Most High God. He was the Good Shepherd, the Living Vine. He's the Bread of Life. He is my refuge. He is my shield. He is my righteousness. He is my advocate who sits at the right hand of the Father right now, making intercession for me. He's the way, the truth, the light. He guards and he guides. He hears and he heals. He forgives and he frees. He opens blind eyes. He raises the dead. He delivers the captives. He defends the weak. He loves those that religion rejected. And his love never failed. There's nothing that you're ever going to do to make him love you more, and there's nothing you're ever going to do to make him love you less. Yeah. I need to take a deep breath because I get too excited. But you know what? Satan couldn't stop him. Death couldn't stop him. The grave couldn't contain him. And he calls on everyone to be saved, forgiven, transformed, made new. Isn't that enough for us to have unity around? Isn't that enough for us to brag on? Isn't that enough positive stuff? I don't even know why we got to get negative, because frankly, the whole crux of the matter is when you share all of that, that's a lot to say. And that's a lot to show, and it's a lot to share. And listen to me, church, our mission is too short. Our mission is too important, and our time is too short, because Jesus could come at any time. We need to stand strong in what we believe. We need to be passionate about the issues in our culture. But whether you lean left or you lean right, we love down the middle. Whether you lean left or you lean right, we love down the middle. Because we are citizens of his kingdom first. We are on a mission together. And even if we disagree politically, socially, economically, culturally, or even like Lyle, roots for the wrong football team in college. I mean, even whatever it is, whatever we can find, you can find any. It's the easiest thing in the world to look at somebody and pick on somebody and tear them down and find something to divide us. But it has to be God in our lives and the love of God that transforms us so we can look at one another and find our commonness. We are in need of his grace. We are in need of his love. And if we're going to reflect his glory to the world, your relationship and my relationship and the relationship that you have to the people on your row and your, you know, and down the aisle and across and everywhere in this room this morning, if we are going to be able to share the love of Christ, if the world's going to see it, we have to be one and united. And we have to focus in on what brings us together. And that brings us today to communion in just a moment. Before we take it, I want to ask you something real quick. In your life, are you in your life, do people know you more by what you're against than what you're for? Do you really recognize that you need other people to help you accomplish your mission? We need each other in order to journey together in heaven. That's why God put us here. Are you holding out? Are you holding back? Are all the walls down? I wonder this morning, can you truly say, I really do love like Jesus? That person who annoys me, that person I can't stand, that person that, you know, does things that my enemy, you know? You know, the Bible, in the Old Testament, you could, you know, you could still do something to your enemy. But the New Testament, you know what it says? Love your enemies. Do you love your enemies? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, in just a minute, we're going to share together in your supper. But before we do, I just want us to pray. And God, is there anything in my life that's keeping me from loving my brother and sister in Christ? Lord, do I need to more desperately need others in my life? Show me how to connect. Show me how to love others in the family. God, Lord, this morning, do people know me? Do I talk more about what I'm against than what I'm for? God, help me to not be negative, but to positively share with the world who you are and what you are for, all of us. Lord, is there somewhere I need to begin to love like Jesus? God, will you show me this morning? Maybe it's one relationship. Maybe it's one person. Maybe it's somebody in my family. Maybe it's somebody down the street, or it's somebody who harmed me and I've had a grudge for a while. God, help me to be like Jesus and forgive, so there can be unity in the body, so there can be unity in my heart and mind today. Lord, before we take communion this morning, I want my life to be yours. I give myself to you. Forgive me for my sins. I repent of the wrongs. I ask you to forgive me. I want you to be Lord of my life this morning. I want what we're about to partake of to truly represent your blood and body broken for me. God, today as we celebrate your presence, might you continue to speak and grow me to be like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.